Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today we're supposed to have Matt Lowe, who covers Ohio State and all the sports in the Midwest. He works for CBS, and he's going to talk a little Johnny Manziel. I'm kind of curious about what's going on with the Browns, because of the Browns, the Indians, and the Cavaliers. We're going to have plenty of time for Cavalier talk, but today we're going to talk college football and boxing today. Later today I'm going to have Keith Idick on. He covers boxing. We're going to talk about Big Canelo, Alvarez, Miguel Cotto fight. So that's going to be, and I'm really pumped for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But as far as college football is concerned, I like Ohio State big. I like Oklahoma, and I like Oklahoma State in all the big games. And hopefully Michigan can win so we can have the big Michigan-Ohio State game mean something. I mean, they do go to Penn State, and Penn State's going to be up. So Michigan's going to have to really play good to get this win. And I'm hoping. Now, of course, ABC's hoping, too. So you can have Michigan and Ohio State play for the whole thing. Whoever wins plays for the Big Ten title. And you're maybe looking at undefeated Iowa. And you're going to have one Big Ten team represent the Final Four. And if Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, if Oklahoma State runs the table, they'll represent. They'll push Notre Dame out. If Oklahoma wins, we got a problem, because the Notre Dame may get in if they run the table. Oklahoma runs the table. A lot of football to be played. So you can have upsets and mess this whole system up. But this is these last 3 weeks. It's going to be separation. You're going to see the separation. And I think it's going to be a clear four teams, I think. Unless it's Oklahoma and Notre Dame. You got a problem, because the common team is Texas, and Notre Dame beat Texas. Oklahoma got destroyed by Texas. Oklahoma's a better team. Oklahoma has a pretty good resume. But Notre Dame has a good resume. So that would be a problem. That would be a problem. But Notre Dame gets beat by Stanford is a moot point. I don't think you're going to see anybody out of the Pac-12. That's not happening. They eliminated themselves by their poor play. I was so disappointed in the Pac-12. I was excited earlier in the year to see these teams from top to bottom, and they just let me down one by one. And Stanford finally did it for me when they lost to Oregon. Oregon's down this year. There you have it. I'm waiting for Matt Lowe to call in. We're going to break down this Michigan State, Ohio State game. I don't like it from the standpoint of the lines. Michigan's offensive line isn't as strong. Their defensive line is okay. Ohio State's line could dominate. Ohio State's defensive line is going to destroy Michigan's defensive line. And at Michigan State don't run the ball. Ezekiel Elliott is a power runner for Ohio State who's going to be up for the Heisman. And I expect him to go off. And then, really, Michigan State's going to have about 8 or 9 guys in the box to stop Elliott. That's when you're going to see JT Barrett go up top. I don't think Ohio State's gone up top the last couple weeks. But, I think they're going to unleash it today. You may see that. So, and then Braxton Miller. They could have Braxton Miller at running back, or they got Braxton Miller go deep. So I just think they're going to really show how great they are today and win. And then they're going to have a hard time beating Michigan next week. That's more of a challenge than Michigan State. I just think that Ohio State's too strong. And it's just, if you're Alabama, you're hoping you're going to get Auburn. You owe Auburn from 2 years ago. You're probably going to get Ohio State, and then you might even get Oklahoma in the finals. You're talking about revenge. This would be the ultimate year for Alabama. If they'd go to Auburn and remove the stench of that game 2 years ago, where the runner returned a missed kick for a touchdown, a fluky kind of win, where they couldn't stop Auburn, and then you get Ohio State who ran down their throats, which you never see, and they did whatever they did. 12 gauge did whatever he wanted in the pocket. He ran all over them, and they couldn't get off the field. They moved the ball well, but they were beaten on both sides of the ball physically by Ohio State. So that's got to bother them. So they would, I'm pretty sure they would love to play. And then Oklahoma, because Bob Stoops was constantly running his mouth about the Big 12, which is very good, and the SEC, but the SEC is much better than the Big 12 because the Big 12 has four good teams, and that's it. The rest of the teams are sieve, and the SEC is much deeper. And that's just the truth. The Bob Stoops just got to – I would love to tell him to his face, too, and break it down. I would love to interview him. But it would probably be adversarial, even though I really respect the Oklahoma program. He's not a good coach under pressure. And he lost. They had no business losing to Texas. They should be undefeated, and they should have no problem getting into the tournament. But if they don't get into the tournament, and Notre Dame gets in, and he's screaming and squawking, he has nobody to blame but himself. Because you have to beat the University of Texas this year. It was a neutral field. Even if it's a close game, they play hard. They got destroyed by Texas. I understand it was earlier. And to me, if I'm picking Oklahoma over Notre Dame just by my eye test. But the committee's going to look and they're going to crunch numbers. And they're not going to make it. They got to root. They have to actively root for Stanford. Or Boston College, maybe to come to Fenway and win a game. So I'm totally, totally, totally excited about college basketball. I mean college football and how different things. And SEC, you know, Alabama and Florida and all these other teams are playing lousy schools. So you don't have a great SEC matchup, but Ole Miss and LSU is interesting because if LSU loses to Ole Miss, they're talking about firing Les Miles, the Mad Hatter, won a national championship for him, but he can be stubborn and he can be a little prehistoric, and the fan base is probably getting sick of him because he hasn't won a title. They got blown out by Alabama, so they're mad at that. Got blown out at home by Arkansas, and that. You do that, the alumni gets mad, and the fan base gets mad. And now your time is getting shorter. You know, you got Fournette, so they were excited about that. But I don't know. It's just you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But, yeah, I do want, when Matt Lowe calls in, I do want to ask about Johnny Manziel because he was great at Texas A&M. Excuse me. But I am really excited about what's about to happen. You never, ever know what could happen in college football because we're talking about kids. I mean, Michigan State could pull off the upset in Ohio State. You never know. But I tell you, Oklahoma State should beat Baylor because, you know, I love the freshman quarterback. I love Stidman. He's playing really good. But he is a freshman, and he's going on the road. They just lost to Oklahoma. you never know. But I expect Oklahoma State to win. Oklahoma State has the best defense in the Big 12. They don't really play a lot of good defense. Oklahoma's a pretty good defensive team, too. So if I have my dream scenario, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State plays, because they're like the two best teams in the Big 10, and they both win, and then they play next week, and that would be awesome. But then you have Michigan and Ohio State, that would be awesome if everything works out. But everything doesn't always work out. You know, you don't always get your way. All right. We have Matt Lowe on from CBS Sports. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How are you? our chemistry, it's amazing. It's just like we were friends since we were kids when we talk on the phone. I'm like, I must have been friends with this guy. He must have been in my sixth grade class somehow.
Sure,
I mean,
seemed like
Steelers fans. I mean, okay, but I want to get right to it. Michigan State, Ohio State. I think Ohio State destroys it because I don't like Michigan's running game. I love Connor Cook, but he can't do it himself, and I don't like either lines. And I think Ohio State's offensive and defensive lines, that's going to be the key, battle of the trenches.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think, you know, the game is in Ohio State. Ohio State is heavy favorites. I think that there's a very good opportunity here for Ohio State to kind of prove, once again, their self-worth as far as the BCS rankings are concerned. You know, Michigan State certainly has things that Ohio State has to be aware of. There's no question about it. Connor Cook, I think, is one of them. But on the other hand, I think Michigan State, like you mentioned, I think the running game is going to be a key. I think that Ohio State should be able to do what they want on the defensive line and pressure Connor Cook. And, you know, and I think that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Taylor Decker said the other day that, you know, they haven't played their best yet. But at the same point in time, you know, you haven't played a team like Ohio State, and I think that's going to be interesting. You know, with Ezekiel Elliott coming off a number of 100-yard games, I think that, you know, I think Ohio State's going to control the line of scrimmage, and I think that's going to be a huge key in this game.
And Michigan State secondary has been good, and they're going to try to load up the box maybe 8 or 9. Now JT Barrett, they didn't do it last week. But I think they're going to go over the top, maybe go a couple of deep balls with Braxton Miller, and I think they're going to open it up, and that's scary for me as far as Michigan State. That's not good.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the key in all that, of course, is what Ezekiel Elliott can do, and, you know, 181 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. I think that, you know, week J.P. Barrett only had to throw for 150 yards, but he also ran for 74 yards. Anytime you have that threat of running the football and you got to put 9 in the box, you know, you can drop back and try to go deep. And I think that you'll see JT Barrett do that today. I don't think there's any question that, you know, when he is at his best, he's at play action. He can roll out of the pocket. He can do things that other quarterbacks can't do. And I think that he will today. I really think that this will be the game where the nation, again, sort of takes notice again that Ohio State is for real.
I totally agree with you. Now, Michigan wins if they beat Penn State. I will give you this scenario. Now, it might not happen. Michigan pulls off the upset against Ohio State. Michigan goes and beats Iowa, undefeated Iowa. Michigan's there as the Big Ten champions. And you have Oklahoma State, who's undefeated, and Clemson's there undefeated. Michigan State and Notre Dame are the last teams you have to decide. Who's getting that spot, provided Notre Dame runs the table?
Wow. Boy, Notre Dame is really good too. I mean, you know, Michigan has surpassed. I think, you know, and you know what, we shouldn't have been
surprised. But they would be the Big Ten champions, and they would. I don't know if this is going to happen, but they would have upset the defending champions, and then upset the undefeated Iowa team, and now you're the Big Ten champion. And Notre Dame has a great resume, but they don't have. Since they're not in a conference, they do have the one loss. Michigan has a two loss, but Michigan's a champion. What do you do?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's certainly some things I think you could, you know, it's almost like the problem with college football still to this day is that because of the scenarios you play out, you sort of have to flip a coin at some point. You know what I mean? Because somebody's going to be unhappy, and somebody who deserves to be there isn't going to be there. And that's sort of where I still think there are some flaws in college football as compared to, like, say, the NFL or any of the major sports out there, baseball, football, basketball. Because, you know, you can sit there today, and you know this, you can sit there today and write out 9 different scenarios, and if three of them happen, one team is going to be sitting at home upset. I was there last year on a Sunday afternoon at Cleveland Browns, well, First Energy Stadium, watching a Browns game, you know, working a Browns game. And it was the day that the BCS rankings came out, the final BCS rankings. And at that point, Ohio State, they started like 9th, I want to say, last year in the BCS rankings and ended up 4th. And it was amazing to me the response from the media right away when Ohio State got in, because it was almost like, you know, again, some team had to more or less get beat out of a spot, you know, and a lot of people, oh, you know, they just, you know, it's a terrible decision, da 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 da. And of course, Ohio State then goes on and beats the two best teams in the country, arguably, to win the national championship. So, you know, I don't know the right answer because I don't think there is a right answer today. I think you need to see, it's the old adage, what if. You need to see how these things play out. You need to see what happens to Michigan the next 2 weeks. I think Michigan will beat Penn State today. I mean, they're 3.5-point favorites, but I think they'll beat Michigan or Penn State. It's on the road though. So of course,
I know.
It's a dangerous game. And, you know, I watched a lot of the Michigan Indiana last week and yeah, I'll tell you what, I mean, talk about a gutsy performance as much as I didn't like to see it. Michigan really, you know, they skated by the skin of their teeth, but give them credit. There was a couple times last week where they really could have, you know, packed it in and instead they won that football game. So, it'll be interesting. You know, 5-1 in the standings. I'd like to see, you know, first of all, I'm going to be honest, and I don't think Michigan's not going to beat Ohio State. They're just not. I mean,
I don't think so, but anything can happen. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Anything can happen, but I don't see how Michigan has enough gas in the tank to hang offensively with Ohio State for four quarters. I just don't see it. And again, I look at the way that, you know, Michigan plays, they're going to have to play that if against Ohio State. We're looking ahead here, but against Ohio State next week, they're going to have to play that game in the 20s if they're going to want to win. If that game gets high 20s, low 30s, I don't think Michigan offensively can hang with Ohio State and score enough points to win.
Yeah, and even if they don't win, I think I'm giving Harbaugh the coach of the year, man.
Well, no, and I agree with you. And trust me, Michigan is going to have to be dealt with. Harbaugh sticks around. There's no question about it. But right now, I think they're a year, maybe two recruiting classes away. And again, a lot of this also depends. I mean, you know, there's already rumblings about what Jim Harbaugh is going to do next, you know. So, and that's a terrible, terrible thing for Michigan because, you know, this is going to be a good football team. But if they don't have the leadership in place, you know, what do you do?
I hope he stays because they're going to be
too.
So good when he gets his guys to come in and they're going to win national championships. If he wins the national championship, he may do like Saban and be like, you know what, maybe I should stay. Maybe I should stay and just hang around and win.
Yeah. Well, Saban did the right thing and, you know, but you know, and it's interesting when you look at the Harbaugh brothers because of the fact that, you know, John Harbaugh rather has stuck around at Baltimore now for what, nine years, 10 years, whatever, or no, he's 2008. So 7 years, you know, has won a Super Bowl. And once again in the NFL, you see how when a team sticks with the correct guy and how they stay the course, even in a bad season, like this season for the Ravens is obviously a lost season. But, you know, when a team sticks with the right guy, how successful they can become. And I think we saw it. Yeah, I think we've seen it through the years. You know, we certainly haven't seen it this year, but again, give them their due. They're just banged up right now and they've lost a lot of players. They've lost an inordinate amount of players, not only to injury, but also to, you know, but also to the fact that they just haven't been able to get on track, you know, throughout courses of this season. But, you know, I love the Harbaugh brothers from what they bring to the table coaching wise. I love them as players too, to be perfectly honest. I thought they were great players.
Remember the Colts gave the Steelers a scare that year and he had a, Harbaugh had a nice run with the Colts before Peyton Manning got there. I do remember that. You definitely. One more question before I let you go. Johnny Manziel, what are the Browns going to do with him?
Well, again, it's the what-if game. I mean, he's going to play the final six games for the Browns, at least unless he gets injured, which, you know, we actually saw that exact scenario last year. When he was named the starter, you know, he played that first game against Cincinnati and they got destroyed 30-0 at home. And then, you know, the following week they went to Carolina against an up-and-coming at that point Carolina team that certainly matured into a powerhouse this year. And he got hurt, you know, and he hurt his hamstring. And now, you know, it's interesting. Now they've got time to prepare for this Baltimore team that's 2-7. But a team that's, you know, I think Baltimore is going to come into this game next Monday night a little ticked off. They lost to the Browns earlier this year in Baltimore in overtime. The Ravens, you know, they have to play the Rams tomorrow, so, you know, they don't get the bye. They've already had their bye. You know, but a situation where the Browns have already played, you know, 10 games. They're not going anywhere. You might as well go with these young kids. I want to see what Johnny Manziel can do. Can he do much? I don't know. As I said earlier, it's a what-if game as far as what this kid's going to be able to accomplish down the road. But, you know, I think he's earned the right to get the opportunity. I think he's matured as a human being. Has he made mistakes down the road? Absolutely. But I think he's matured as a human being. I want to see him get an opportunity against this Baltimore team and against other teams like Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. They play the 49ers at home again. They play in Seattle. I think that's going to be obviously a tough matchup, but I'd like to see how he reacts against a very good defense, even though they've struggled at times this year. I want to see how he does. And then I think the Browns can accurately make a decision on what to do this offseason. Are they, you know, if they have the one, they're going to have the top five pick. There's no question about it. They may even have the one, depending what Tennessee and Baltimore does, or I'm sorry, Tennessee and Detroit rather does the rest of the way, and Baltimore for that matter. So there is a scenario where the Browns could be sitting with the number one pick and hold all the cards again for the third time since coming back in 99. And I think at that point, you make your decision to see what happens.
Well, thank you very much. You're great as usual. I love listening to you, dude. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. Anytime. Anytime. Have a great holiday, my friend.
You too. That was Matt Love. He definitely I do want to see what Mantell could do. I'm not sure about him. I've not been his biggest fan as far as off the field. I saw some things on the field that are pretty good. He does. I mean, he's better out of the pocket. You know, he's still like a magician out of the pocket. I remember Texas A&M, but we in the pocket and different reads. Can he read defenses? Is going to. I do want to see that. So these next six games are crucial for him and the Browns. Now I want to switch to boxing, and Miguel. Hopefully, we have Keith Idek coming on. Miguel Cotto is fighting Canelo Alvarez, and I like both these fighters. I'm more of a Canelo Alvarez fan, so I'll be rooting for him tonight. But there's some things that concern me. I've seen Canelo. I see him beat up Austin Trout, but Austin Trout was outboxing him for a while. And then, you know, he got completely schooled by Floyd, and he looked to learn from that. But Cotto's a good boxer. I mean, Floyd's one of the greatest boxers ever walked that planet Earth. Cotto's a good boxer, though, and he's going to look to box and slug when he has the time. He'll slug in spurts, but he's going to look to box. He's not going to look to slug the bigger Canelo because that would be stupid. But, I'm picking Canelo to win. I don't know if he's going to be able to stop Cotto. I go back and forth with this fight. I'm going to go Canelo late stoppage. It better be a late stoppage. It goes to the decision. It goes to the scorecards. That means Cotto's outboxed him, and then Canelo's going to have a second loss. Late stoppage. I've seen Cotto in trouble, but you better be able to set your punches up. And both guys are great body punchers. So I do like that about they're both great body punchers. I'm going to go with Canelo. I wonder if Keith Idek, I know he has a game to do. He has some parenting obligations. I think he has a game, his kid. So I don't know if he's going to be able to call in. Hopefully he can, because Keith Idek's one of the best boxing writers in America. And I always like his opinion. And he can help me, because I need help on this, because I know Cotto's a great body puncher. He's a better boxer, but he's 10 years older. Canelo's younger. And Canelo looks like he's developing into a better boxer. He looks in great shape. But we shall see. And the winner will fight Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. So, you know, we'll see who kind of come down. We don't have time to break that down, but we do have time to break down the fight. He's going to call in another minute, Keith Idek. Yeah, I want his opinion. I'm going to sit back and listen to him, because this is a tough fight to call.
because you got the boxer who could control the fight was boxing, but you got the bigger man who is younger. And I have, okay, here we have him now. Okay, we have Keith Ivek now, and we have about 5 minutes left on my show. And I talked about this fight just now, Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto. I'm rooting for Canelo, but Cotto is such a good fighter. I'm wondering about that. What's your prediction? Because I'm going to lean on your expertise.
I think Canelo's going to win the fight, Ron, but I expect it to be a very competitive fight. The odds say that it might not be a competitive fight because Canelo's around a 3-1 favorite, you know, presumably because he's, 10 years younger than Cotto, and Cotto's been through a lot of wars in his career. And I think that people don't really believe as much in Cotto's 3-fight winning streak as they ordinarily would because they think that's more a matter of matchmaking. He caught Martinez at the right time, you know, beat Daniel Gill, who had already been knocked out by Golovkin, beat Delvin Rodriguez, who was pretty much, you know, way past his prime and had been stopped a bunch of times before they fought. So I just think that people don't really believe in Cotto's comeback as much as, on paper maybe they should. So I think that's why they're favoring Canelo. But Cotto's looked fantastic with Freddie Roach since they got together. Almost 2 years ago now, I guess. But so they look great together, and he's a different fighter under Freddie. He listens more. He applies what Freddie teaches him, you know, uses the game plan, goes to the body more, uses that great left hook to the body, and then comes up top with it. He's been fantastic with Freddie Roach, so it's a really, really intriguing fight that really I wouldn't be surprised if Cotto pulled off what would be considered an upset based on the odds. But I think it's going to be a really competitive, entertaining, exciting fight. Pretty much everything that the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight was not in the ring.
Now, let me ask you this question. Cotto has really used that left hook to the body. I've never really seen Canelo get hurt. He's been outboxed. But you think he could hurt Canelo with that left hook to the body, even though Canelo's a bigger man?
I think he can. You're right, Ron. He's a bigger guy and probably a stronger guy. But Cotto really has... You know, when he digs to the body with that left hook and then comes up top with it, you know, in succession, he's really dangerous. And I think that Freddie Roach thinks that Canelo Alvarez's chin has not been tested as most of us seem to think. And the last time I've seen Canelo Alvarez in any kind of trouble in a fight was when he fought Miguel Cotto's brother, which was about 5 years ago. He was around the same weight. Yeah, he was around the same weight that he wound up winning that, coming back to win that fight very easily. And he wasn't down, but he was buzzed in the fight. But he hasn't been hurt against some big punchers. Obviously, in his last fight, he fought James Kirkland. James Kirkland's chin is not great, but he's a murderous puncher. But Canelo just stood in there and banged it out with him, stood right in the pocket and took everything that James Kirkland had. Now, James Kirkland's a southpaw, obviously, so he's a much different fighter than Cotto. But I think Canelo Alvarez has proven that he's got a great chin. The one thing I would expect to see tonight that I'm not sure that people are expecting, because they think Miguel Cotto is going to try to box Canelo Alvarez because that's his greatest chance to win. I think that Cotto is going to come out and attack Canelo Alvarez right from the opening bell, just blitz him to see what he can take and try to catch him off guard and maybe hurt him in the first round of the fight, which really, if you remember from the Sergio Martinez fight, that completely changed the complexion of the fight. He knocked Sergio Martinez down 3 times in the first round, so... And Canelo Alvarez is in a much different physical condition than Sergio Martinez was at that point, because Martinez's knee was mangled at that point. He probably shouldn't have even fought, and he was 39 years old, so he had a lot of things working against him. But that's what I think is going to happen tonight, Ryan. I think he's going to come right after him, right after the opening bell, and see what Canelo can take right from the jump.
I got to let you go, though. That was four of the best 4 minutes of boxing I've ever heard. Listen, I'm going to get you whenever you're free again. You're the best, so I appreciate it.
Anytime, Ron. Have a good day.
Okay. That was awesome. He broke it down. So we're going to find out what happens, and Monday we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk definitely more NFL. I didn't have a chance to talk NFL, but we're going to do that Monday.